Well, today we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is a pretty familiar passage, and the message today is on Thanksgiving, the power of gratitude. And I mean, how many messages have been preached on this? Thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of messages on thankfulness, on gratitude. And to be honest, it's hard to get up here because I feel like everything's been said. I feel like there's more qualified people out there to be preaching on this, on something that's so familiar to us. And really, unless you've never heard one on Thanksgiving, then that's great. But if you have, there's a good chance that you're not going to hear something today and go, oh my gosh, I never knew that. I mean, I think Thanksgiving, thankfulness, and gratitude, I think is something that we go, oh yeah, we've heard that before. Oh yeah, that's right. That's something that I'm supposed to be doing and practicing. I think the message has never changed or strayed, but the reason that the message keeps getting preached is why? We forget it. We're like, man, how many, there's thoughts in your head like, oh man, here we go. Thanksgiving, we've heard this one before. And then we're going to walk right out those doors and go, oh God, why me? Poor me. Why don't I have this? It's in one ear, out the other a lot of times with us. With us, that's not me saying that to you. That's me saying that to myself. There's nothing in here today that we're going to talk about that's going to go, okay, all right, yeah, all it is today is just a reminder for us to continue to practice. And we call it a spiritual discipline, even though we're not going through the disciplines right now, but we call it a discipline of thankfulness, of thanksgiving, of grateful, of gratitude. And so the goal today is for you to go, oh yeah, that's right. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. It's hard to put in practice. It's an easy message. We all know it. I mean, there's a chance that if you've been in church more than a couple of weeks, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. It's not like a shocker, but it's so hard to take the message and put it into practice. And so that's why we continue to come over this. And the goal today is that we want to shift our mindset, take our focus off of us, and put it back on Him. This is a great opportunity as we leave here today to say, Father, I have been looking at myself and what I perceive as a lack, but today I choose to place my eyes on You. Would You shift my focus? May I never lose sight of Your goodness and of Your mercy. And so as we talk about this, the story that I just love, and it goes with this, and we've talked about it before, Corrie Ten Boom. Her dad was a watchmaker around the time of the Nazis. They had a shop, and then they had a house that was attached to it, and then up above. And her and her family hid Jews that were running from the Nazis, and they just needed a place to stay for a bit. And they actually had a room. You can still go to it and visit it, but there's a room in their closet that you slide out, and there's a certain way to get in there. And there was only enough room for two people. And I think at one time there were 7 people in there for 2 weeks because they couldn't move or make a sound because the Nazis were all around them. Her and her sister got caught harboring Jews, and they got sent to concentration camps of the horrors that we can't even imagine. I could say it and you'd be like, man, that never happened. That happened in our lifetime. Similar to when someone tells you happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas, real similar, that same persecution that we face here in America. That's a joke, people. All right, let's laugh. Whew, there we go. Let it out. Y'all were holding that one in too long. My wife's going to be mad at me for that one. Her and her sister were in concentration camp, and her sister is Betsy, and Betsy was teaching Corey to be thankful in all circumstances. And she's, Corey was, okay, I can be thankful for this, this, and this, but not this. And it just kept going. And eventually it got down to there were fleas, and their barracks was infested with fleas. And Betsy was saying, Corey, we need to be thankful for the fleas. And she's like, I just can't. Like, what's to be thankful about? And eventually she just said, okay, I'll be thankful for that. Turns out that the soldiers guarding their barracks wouldn't go in because they didn't want to become infested with fleas. So they got saved from a lot of torture. They were able to hold Bible studies and prayer meetings because the guards wouldn't go in there. What I'm saying is that one act of gratitude can begin to shift our mindset. Something that you're like, Lord, how can I be thankful for this? I lost my job. How in the world do you expect me to be thankful for that? My husband has been unfaithful, and you want me to be thankful in that. I don't have enough money this month, and you want me to be thankful for that. I can't smoke a turkey like Derek Berg can, and you want me to be thankful for that. You know, and honestly, all it does is one act of gratitude can begin to shift our focus and our mindset, where we begin to not look at our circumstances as a lack, but then we are able to see God's provision. We always have one main idea. Today's main idea is up here, and it is gratitude is a heart posture that recognizes God's goodness in every circumstance. So today, like, that's the main theme. We're going to be building off of that, but I want you guys to walk away with that gratitude is a heart posture that recognizes God's goodness in every circumstance. It acknowledges his blessings and trusts in his plans, even when we feel uncertain. So can we just pray real fast as we get ready to hear a very familiar sermon? So Father, I thank you that your word is true, that every word in your word is true. It's beneficial for us to hear this message today. It's encouraging to us to hear this message today. It's challenging for us to hear this message today. And so, Father, may we prepare our hearts to receive what you want to say to us. And honestly, whether that's through me or through the Holy Spirit, I would rather it be through the Holy Spirit right now. Prepare us to just hear what you want to say to us today. May we be good hearers of your word, but may we be better doers. In Jesus' name, amen. Thankfulness is not optional, it's essential. We've allowed it to just be this thing that we do whenever things go our way. You know, like when Alabama loses the third game and gets knocked out of the championship, you know, the playoff. You're like, Lord, you are so good. So good. Now, next week, Texas Tech saying, it might be hard for me to be thankful next week if we lose. Jeff, okay, it might be hard. But we've made it optional where we get to go in and out of thankfulness based on our emotions. When things go our way, we're like, Lord, you are good. Good, I know that's why I'm serving you right now. And then as soon as something bad happens, it's like, Lord, why have you abandoned me? You've left me out here. Right? I mean, do y'all remember the Israelites? The Israelites cross through the Red Sea. Incredible. Stops the water as a wall on both sides. They walk on dry ground. They're saved from death, from the Egyptians, from slavery. They get to the other side of the Red Sea, and it's been a few days, and they go, and I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. Lord, why would you bring us out here to die? I would rather be a slave in Egypt. At least we had food. How many times do we do that? Where the Lord has brought us through a very serious thing that saved us from a life of slavery. Maybe it didn't save our life, like physically, but maybe it saved us from a life of slavery to sin and addiction. And we get to the other side. So my wife has encouraged me to eat healthy, okay? So it's been about 13 days. So I've like in 13 days, I'm down like 130 Dr. Peppers that I should have had already, and I haven't, right? And so I wish I was exaggerating, but that's probably might be undershooting that. But what happens is when you get onto the other side, you tend to look back and go, man, I just want a Dr. Pepper. The good old days. How many times are we delivered and set free? How many times has the Lord paid a bill that we had no idea how he was going to do it? Pastor Mike's not here, so I can step on the subs today, okay? Don't tell him. How many times has he provided a bill that we had no way to pay? And then 3 days later, another one comes and you go, I wish I wouldn't have wasted my money on that bill to just let that one go to, you know, like how many times on the other side do we look back and go, I wish I was back there. But all throughout scripture, when you begin to read the word from beginning to end, you see how it's woven in all throughout gratitude, thanksgiving, thankfulness. Psalm 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. It is not a suggestion. Like today, this is not like an optional. There's no, hey, if this makes sense to y'all and if y'all agree with like, then okay, then y'all can put this into practice. No, like there's no option. This is not Jeff saying be thankful. This is the word of God from beginning to end going, thankfulness is supposed to be not just woven into the word of God, but it's supposed to be woven into our daily lives, to our thoughts, to our words, and to our actions. The more that we do it, the more that it just I should really think about words. I'm not good at words. I'm not a smart guy. It's interwoven, interweaved, whatever, right? Into our lives. Thankfulness and gratitude is an act of obedience to God. We're going to read 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, since I told you to turn there 20 minutes ago. It starts off in so familiar passage. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That word in verse 18, in everything. When you go back and you study the original language, the Greek, it means everything. There's no hidden meaning. Like, give thanks in everything. It's like, well, maybe Paul didn't mean in everything. No, it meant in all and in everything. Give thanks in everything. What happens, and I think why we struggle with gratitude, is because we've taken the word before everything that says give thanks in everything, and we've turned it into that we have to be thankful for everything. The truth is, it doesn't say to be thankful for everything, but it says in everything so that God can work through everything. We don't have to be thankful that, like Kelly was sharing with us, you know, and like her son got diagnosed with leukemia years ago and Zion is recovered. And it doesn't mean, man, Lord, I'm so glad that you gave Zion leukemia. Man, I'm thankful for that leukemia. No way. But what you say is, Father, in this situation, I can remain to be thankful because you're going to do something through everything that I never would have even imagined. Yeah. And as a testimony to you two, Eric and Kelly, Zion, like who y'all were before that, y'all are way better people having gone through that. I've seen the strength that y'all have, the resiliency, the trust in God. And you go, would I want to do that again? No. But I don't ever want to have to take back those lessons that I learned while going through it. Be thankful in everything so that God can work through everything. I think of the story of Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Older brothers, I might add. Just saying. Older brothers sold him into slavery. Us younger and last borns, You know, we're the ones getting picked on a lot. Joseph gets sold into slavery. Falsely accused, imprisoned. Then he makes his way back up into power. There's famine in the land. He does all this stuff, this trickery, brings his brothers back. And do you know what Joseph says? He has his one moment before his brothers. And he said, I've had a moment before my brother to be thankful, and I have blown it, all right? Joseph, sold into slavery, falsely accused of lots of things, imprisoned. He stands before his brothers, and on the other side of it, you know what he says? What you intended for evil, the Lord had planned for good. Because Joseph went through that, even though there was severe famine, the Lord had given a plan for Joseph of how to make sure that everybody had food. If Joseph had not gone through that, think of how many people would have suffered and died. His gratitude was rooted in the understanding that God is faithful and that his plans are always good. From beginning to end, it's woven into Scripture. David, a king, a man after God's own heart, faced many trials. Some were self-inflicted, all right? We understand that, as some of ours are self-inflicted also. Faced many trials. He, before he even became king, the king was after to kill him. He becomes king, a son, one of his sons, Absalom, tries to lead a rebellion and kill him. He faced many trials, but you know what he says in Psalms? He goes through there, Psalm 103, it says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. David was thankful, not because he was on the run for his life, but he was thankful because sins are forgiven, our diseases are healed, and he redeems our life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. One simple act of gratitude has the ability to shift our mind and our focus onto what it's really supposed to be. David's example reminds us to look past our circumstances and to recognize God's mercy and his faithfulness. Jesus, he takes his the bread and the fish, and he's standing before 5,000 men. There's not enough fish. There's not enough bread. What does Jesus do first? He says, he gives thanks to his Father. He did not give thanks in abundance. Lord, thank you for this fabulous Thanksgiving spread that you've placed in front of us for these 5,000 men. No, it was enough for a few people. A young boy had brought it. But he gave thanks because he knew in the Father's ability to multiply it. Why? Because his focus was not on the few loaves of bread and fish. Even though that's what's in the physical, in the spiritual, he knew that my God can take what this is here and turn it into something that will satisfy 5,000 men and have enough for leftovers. Incredible. Gratitude comes before the miracle. So many times we're waiting to get onto the other side of the Red Sea. We're waiting to get on the other side of 130 Dr. Peppers. And then we go, Lord, you're good. But thanksgiving and gratitude and a heart that adores him, that's been turned over to the Father, goes, Lord, here's this Red Sea and I'm so thankful for it. Because I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. The hard part on being thankful is that we can't wrap our mind around how big and how good God is. We look at what we don't have and go, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it with this. And the Lord's like, I don't even need that little bit that you've got. So many times we're waiting to get to the other side in order to give thanks. Let me just get this healing. Let me just get this forgiveness. Let me just get free of addiction. And what I'm telling you today is that a lot of times thankfulness comes on this side of the miracle, on this side of the Red Sea. Thanksgiving is the key that will unlock the door to those blessings. A thankful heart goes, Lord, you're good and I trust you. Paul and Silas, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, thankfulness is woven all throughout Scripture. Paul and Silas are in prison. Acts chapter 16. They're in prison, and at midnight, they're singing hymns and songs. Now, they didn't do anything wrong. They preached the gospel. They were beaten. They were thrown in chains and thrown into a prison. Wrongly convicted, if there was even a trial, just right there. And what's their thought? Man, I'm going to sing praises to God, for his love endures forever. Gratitude in the darkest moments can lead to breakthroughs that only God can orchestrate. I'm telling you, before you get to the other side of whatever that is that's in front of you, if we start here in our darkest moments, in the moments that seem like there's no reason to give thanks, those moments of gratitude can lead to breakthroughs that you could not even ever imagine, and that only God can orchestrate. Our command from God to be thankful is not about denying our struggles, right? Like it doesn't go, like we don't have like blinded eyes and go, oh yeah, everything's good. No worries. No, there are things to worry about. But what thankfulness does, it doesn't go, hey, I don't see that struggle in front of me. It's not even there. La, 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 la. Who cares? I don't even see it. No, it goes, hey, I see it, but I look right past it. And I see the Father is right there. You know, we love the story of the prodigal son. A long ways off, the Father was looking for him. And so many times, the obstacle that's in front of us, the way to get through it is to be thankful before you even encounter it. And on the other side, we don't ignore it, but we look through it, we look past it, and we see the loving arms of our Father. David, another time, wrote in Psalm 34, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Man, what if that was the case? What if that was the case for us, that we will bless the Lord at all times and his praise shall be continually in our mouth? Gratitude is a heart posture that recognizes God's goodness in every circumstance. It acknowledges his blessings and trust in his plan, even when life feels uncertain. When we choose gratitude, when we look at the scriptures and how it's all interconnected, how it should be in us, that when we choose gratitude, what we're saying is, Lord, I trust you. I may not understand everything, but I know that you are good. You see, that gratitude has the power to change our hearts, our minds, and our circumstances. Gratitude, it's not just words that we just, hey, I'm just going to say it and whatever happens, happens. But gratitude, the words of our mouth, the posture of our heart has the ability to transform our heart, our minds, and our circumstances. Look at Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It should be up on the screen if I've done things correctly. There we go. I think I did. Yeah. Don't be anxious. I'll read it out of this version here. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Maybe one more? Or is it? That was it. Okay, that was it. Thankfulness begins to shift our hearts and our minds. And when that happens, it creates a ripple effect. You know, have you ever, you just throw a pebble into the water and it just creates these ripples. And can I tell you that sometimes we like to think that our thoughts and our words and our actions are kind of like in a vacuum, that they're independent of things. But the truth is that every thought, every word, every action has the ability to cause a ripple effect into our lives, and not just our lives, but into others. And so what I'm saying today is that the power of thanksgiving, of gratitude, when we begin to think it, say it, and act on it, it begins to ripple out from us into our families, into our businesses, into our workspaces, into our church. Our thoughts and our words and our actions are important, because what gratitude does is, one, it shifts our focus. When we begin to practice gratitude, not just with our actions, but with our words and with our thoughts, it shifts our focus from what we lack to what we have. So many times we look at situations and we think that they're problems, and we fail to see them as blessings. As I was saying with the kills, like we look at this thing of leukemia as a problem, but we need to begin to see the blessings that are going to come in that and through that. And the way that happens is that when we practice gratitude, we take our eyes off of what we don't have, and we look to the Father who has everything that we need. We begin to take our focus from what is earthly to what is eternal. A lot of the reason that for a lack of gratitude is because we look around at what is earthly and we go, man, I wish I had that. Man, I wish this happened. I wish this. And so what happens is, when we take our focus, when we practice gratitude, we take our focus off of what is earthly and we put it on what is eternal. The things that matter. The things of this world, while yes, they're fun and enjoyable, they're not going to matter. Jesus said, don't store up yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust will destroy, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. You see, that gratitude starts to become less and less with what I don't have and more of what he has done for me. When we can take our focus off of the earthly and go, you know, because you can look at other people and go, man, I wish I had that they have. And whatever that is, that's our flesh. But the truth is, you can have all the toys that they have, but none of those are going to come in handy when you're going through a trial and you have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven is the peace that we can have right now. All those things that we're like, man, I just wish this and that. You're wanting something that's going to destroy, that's going to burn up, when he's already given you something. I mean, man, yeah, all those things, all the earthly things are good, but you know what's even better than that? That I know that I can stand up here right now and know that I'm saved, that I'm healed, that I'm made whole, that I'm delivered, that I'm loved, that I'm a son, that I have a place that I'm going, that he has a room for me in heaven, that he looks down on me with joy. Like, man, all those other things would be nice. But what the Lord has done for me and in me, so much better. So much better. Gratitude flows freely when we focus on our blessings and not on what others have. The other one is that gratitude will bring peace. We read of Philippians 4, 6, and 7, that thankfulness, when combined with prayer, it ushers in the peace of God. So many times we're not happy because there's storms in our lives. And so what do? We're always praying for God to calm the storms, right? We go back to the example, and I think it may be Mark. Man, Pastor Mike's not here to correct me. Somebody else will, though. Maybe Mark 7, Mark 8, somewhere in there. Maybe Luke 4. I'm all over the place today on that. when Jesus calmed the storm, right? And you're like, oh man, yeah. But do you know that gratitude brings peace? So many times when we want Jesus to calm the storm, do you know what we really need is that we need him to calm us so that we can go through the storm? Because the storms are going to be there. But what we need is instead of him calming the storms, we need him to calm us. And that happens when we practice gratitude because we're not anxious about all the other things. When we're grateful for who we are, what he has given us, the gifts that he's given us, then anxiety quiets. And he's able to calm us. Gratitude fuels joy. Yes. I mean, you're like, man, I'm just not joyful. Start with gratitude. And you're like, man, there's just not a lot to be joyful about. Man, how about that breath that you just said that with? That's pretty cool. You know? I mean, you got a pastor that's awesome. There's two things. Start there and then maybe the Holy Spirit will reveal something else, you know? But the way that we cultivate joy is not by going to the beach, going to the mountains, going fishing, enjoying a good meal. Those are temporary things. The way that what fuels joy is gratitude. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Gratitude is the foundation of joy because it recognizes the goodness of God. Comparison will steal joy and gratitude. When we measure our lives against others, we often feel that what we have isn't enough. Gratitude fuels it. Comparison will steal it. In a heartbeat. You can give your kid a great present for Christmas. And it's within your budget. It's in your plan. And he loves it. She loves it. And it's like, man, Dad, this is the best thing you've ever done. This is awesome. And then go to school or they can go talk to somebody else. And they're like, oh, well, I got this. And you're like, man, I wish I got that. My dad just got me this. What was good and unbelievable just all of a sudden became lack and disappointment because I saw what somebody else had. Have you ever done that? Has the Lord ever done something to you and you're just like, oh, Lord, you've outdone yourself. Like, honestly, that is amazing. And then, you know, whether it's a testimony and you're like, man, the Lord has delivered me of this, this, and this. And you're like, man. And then you talk to someone else who's been delivered of more and you're jealous that they've been delivered of more. You're like, what? Why am I jealous? Like, man, they got a cool testimony. Oh yeah, drug addiction, real cool. Lost my family, that's cool. You know, like they're going, I wish I didn't have to go through that. But what happens is whatever the Lord gives us, it's so good. It's a gift and we're like, Lord, that's so good. And then we look up and we see the way that the Lord has blessed someone else and all of a sudden what was good now has become not enough. When we focus on ourselves and what the Lord has done, that's all we need because when we measure ourselves up against others, it makes us feel like ours isn't good enough. Even though the Father felt that it was good enough for you. Have you ever thought about that? Like, oh Lord, why this and why that? Because the Lord thought that you would benefit from this right here. Gratitude fosters contentment. Kind of goes with that previous one with joy. But we live in a culture of comparison and materialism. Contentment is found through gratitude whenever we look at what we have rather than what we're longing for. Paul writes in Philippians 4, I love how he says it here. He says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Gratitude fosters contentment. When we become thankful for what we have, then we won't desire the other things that other people have. When we are content, then we stop striving and we start resting. You see, because when we're discontent, that means what we say that what the Lord gave us isn't enough, and so I need to go and get some of my own. Like, Lord, hey, I appreciate this. This is good. It's just not all the what I wanted, and so I'm going to go and get a little extra for it. I'm going to go and do just a little bit more. And so instead of being able to rest in his goodness, we strive for the more. We were talking before service, and this guy, he's about to have some time off in December. And there's a choice. Am I going to be content? Or are you going to say, oh, Lord, thank you for this time off. It's nice, but man, I'm really going to go do something else. I just want to be busy. How many times does the Lord bless us with something and we say, thank you, but I would like another? Thank you, but can I also have this? Thank you, but let me go do this. Discontentment occurs when we focus on what we don't have rather than what God has already provided. And the last thing on this one here, it says that gratitude magnifies God. When we thank God, we magnify him in our lives. We don't make him bigger, but we just use that magnifying glass, and this thing that was the same size becomes a lot more bigger in our eyes because our perspective has changed. Gratitude shifts the focus from ourselves and reminding us of his power, his faithfulness, and his love. James 1 and 2. Y'all, let me just read that real fast. James 1 and 2. This is something that we've gone over before. Probably should have flipped there beforehand. These things stick together. There we go. James 1, 2, and 4. Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete and lack nothing. You see that when we go through the trials, we think the focus is on us. Look at me. Look what I'm enduring. This is so bad for me. But really, when we have thankfulness in those trials, the magnifying glass goes right over to him. And his goodness is shown because why? It produces maturity so that we may be complete. Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Gratitude is a heart posture that recognizes God's goodness in every circumstance. It acknowledges his blessings and trusts in his plan, even when life feels uncertain. Gratitude not only transforms us, but it honors God. Gratitude is one of the most powerful tools in the life of a Christ follower, but it doesn't come easy, and it's not going to happen by accident. It's a practice that we must cultivate. It's a discipline that we must put into practice. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do in all it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thankfulness is not just an emotion, it's a discipline. Gratitude grows the stronger we practice, grows stronger the more we practice it. So here's just some tips, and really you probably have your own and they might be better, but here's some tips. Can I say one? Start your day with gratitude. Every morning you start with gratitude. You're not going to wake up tomorrow, more than likely, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and go, man, I'm thankful for today. Monday's great. Everybody else is off, but here I go to work. This is awesome. Lord, thank you. Right? That's probably what's going to happen. First thought in your head, you're like, man, why is this alarm so early? But can I say, start your day with thankfulness. Focus on God and not on yourself. One of the simple things that I do that after I get up and as I'm walking to the bathroom to get ready for the work day, it's that focus my mind on, Lord, today, I love it. You know, today is the day the Lord has made what? I will rejoice and be glad in it. Say it every morning. Today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then as I'm getting ready for work, as I'm driving to work, I begin to just go, Lord, you know all that I have today. You know my schedule. You know the plans. You know all the things. I'm just going to give it to you today. I'm going to be thankful. If something happens that I'm not aware of or that I might not be prepared for, Father, I just want to give you thanks for it now because I know that nothing happens without accident or happens on accident. You have a plan and a purpose. And whatever it is, I'm ready for it today and I give you thanks for it. And then in the morning on my way to work as I pray, I don't ask for anything. Prayer has become just this ask, ask, ask. And I always try to do some of my prayers in the morning. I'm just going to say, I'm not going to ask for anything today, Lord. I'm just going to begin to be thankful. And I begin to just thank him for my family. I begin to thank him for me being an awesome pastor to my church. I begin to thank him for you guys, for my staff. I begin to thank him for the job and my car that I just hopped in and turned the key and it started again. You know, like, it's super simple. So I don't ask. The part that is key in prayer is not all of your prayer. And I know we can go back. Well, Pastor, you just said by prayer and petition, make your request known to God. Absolutely. But that can't be all of your prayer. That can't be all of it. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want, I want, I want. That can't be it. Some of it just has to say, Lord, you're so good. And I thank you for everything that you've given me, all the ways that you've blessed me. And so that's crucial. The other thing that is good is just a journal. And I know, like, I just, like, Clinton's like, bro, I ain't journaling, man. I'm a man. Men don't journal, all right? I saw it on your face. You yawned. A journal is so important. One, you know, learning is different things, but when we learn it, when we know it, yes, but when you write it, you learn it even more. It gives you something that you can go back to. It's the ability to go, Lord, I'm really down today. What's going on? Lord, I've got a bill that I've got to pay, and I don't know how. Oh, let me just pull out my journal. Oh, yeah, I remember right here. I didn't know how I was going to do it, and you came through. Oh, and you did it again, and you did it again, and you did it again. Write it down. When you read all throughout the Old Testament, right, they were always, what, building altars to remember, right? They crossed the Jordan on dry ground, again, incredible. And right when they get across, what do? They build an altar with 12 stones, one for each tribe. Not because they were into architecture, but because they go, man, I want to remember that. That when things get tough, I'm going to be able to come right back to this spot. I'm going to see those 12 stones. I'm going to see that river. And I'm going to know that my Lord delivered my people through there. A gratitude journal, a way to write it down is important. In that, share it with others. Like, you don't just write it down and make it all yours and it's your private. Hey, if you had other things to write in a journal, that's a different journal. This journal is like gratitude and giving thanks to the Lord. And it can be little things. A time that you heard his voice when you've been praying for it. And you're like, Lord, I just don't know if I hear your voice. And then he speaks. Write it down. Go back to it. Put a date on it and go, I know that I know he spoke to me and I heard him. There's this. And you guys know, because y'all hear me talk a lot, that I'm not a smart guy, but that my granddaughter laughed at me over there. I didn't ask for an amen over there. But that when something happens, and Larry, I apologize because this is going to get into a medical thing. When something happens, there's two neurons that they connect. It's called a synapse. Synapse. And it creates this connection here. And that's how you have a memory. So like, if I met you today and it was your first time here, it's not connected yet, but I'll remember because I'm going to talk to you after service so that it's there. What happens is it creates this connection and it's a pathway for you to go back and forth on that memory. Have you ever had a parent that, or maybe you might be that parent that loves to tell the same stories over and over to embarrass your kids? Yep, that's y'all, one of y'all. I know there's at least two of y'all in here, right? And so, And you're like, you know, they're telling the kids the same story, and it's just like, oh my gosh. You know, and the kids are like, she's told me that story 17 times. Do I have to keep smiling? And I'm like, no, 16 is enough, and then 17th, you can quit smiling, right? Once, but what's the purpose of that? The more that we go back and revisit that, that memory will stay. But if the Lord does something for us and we don't write it down and we don't tell others about it, we don't revisit it, that connection between the neurons separates and we lose that memory. Writing it down is important. Telling others about it is important because we want to keep that connection. We never want to forget those things that are important. And yes, sometimes it will be the 17th time that you tell your kids how good the Lord was. But what you're doing is not only are you saying, I'm not telling you for your benefit. Have you noticed sometimes those stories that they tell over and over and over, right? It's like, it's not even for us. There's not even an audience listening. She's just blabbering. Everyone's tuned her out. But you know what she's doing, right, Mom? But you know what she's doing? She's doing it for herself because she never wants to forget those times. When the Lord does something for you, revisit it. Because if you don't revisit it, you lose it. You get onto the other side of the Red Sea and you go, Lord, where are you? You get onto the other side of the Jordan and you don't build an altar of 12 stones and you face all the things and then you go, man, Lord, where are you? What did you do for me? Can I encourage you that that's important? In difficult times, gratitude, it's thankfulness, it's not an emotion. It's a discipline that we can teach ourselves and train ourselves to do. In difficult times, just reframe it, right? Like, don't see it. Don't let that be your focus. You look past it and you look at God. The other part, like this comes afterwards sometimes, you know, like in your journal as you're writing and there's things that you're thankful for and you write them down, absolutely. But then there's a section in there where I talk about all those things that I learned through those trials. So that's another way, like in the difficult times, whatever lesson you learn in there, write it back down. Write it down so that you don't forget those lessons. And can I say, surround yourself with people that are thankful? Have you noticed there are some people that just breathe life into you? You enjoy being around. And man, there are others that just suck it right back out of you. There's people that you're around them and it's like, man, God is good, this. And it's just bubbling out of them. Surround yourself with them. Be a person that people will surround themselves with. If there's somebody that's grumbling and complaining, that doesn't mean you get to dismiss them because then we would all be by ourselves, right? For the most part of the day. But if you see that someone's constantly just sucking the life out of you, evaluate that. Don't stay there and just listen to that over and over because it changes the way that you view things. Psalm 136, 1, all throughout here, it repeats this phrase. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. If you've ever read Psalm 136, if you haven't, go home and read it today. It's a lengthy one, but it goes through the history of the Israelites. Every verse, oh, and the Lord did this, and he did this. And at the end of it, oh, the Lord did this, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. And then the Lord did this. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. And then remember when he delivered us from the Red Sea. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Right. Thankfulness and gratitude, it's something that, it's not optional. It's essential in a life of a Christ follower. It's woven all throughout Scripture. It transforms us. It honors God. And it has to be cultivated. Because our flesh is in opposition to it. Because our flesh wants to focus on us and not on the Father. Gratitude and thankfulness takes the focus off of us, off of our problems, off of what we perceive as lack, and puts our focus right back on Him. So this week, can we practice that? I'm going to pray for us right now. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your word, that every word of it is true. It's beneficial to us. It edifies us, it encourages us, and it challenges us. Thank you for the encouragement today. And thank you for the challenge to become more like you. Father, may we commit today to be people of gratitude and of thankfulness. Would we be a people that are able to look past ourselves and past our circumstances and still see God's goodness and his mercy and his faithfulness to us? Father, we love you. We love you. We bless your name. Amen.